I'm deeply grateful to Mrs. Solomon and the officers of Oratoria for inviting me here tonight to speak to all of you once again. In the 16th century, in Tzfat, there were three tremendous tzaddikim. These three tzaddikim not only made their mark on Tzfat, but they made their mark on ganz Yiddishkeit ad hayom hazeh. The first one was the Arizal HaKodesh. The second was Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Beit Yosef, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And the third, although he's not as widely known, was Rav Shlomo HaLevi Alkavitz. Rav Shlomo HaLevi Alkavitz wrote many, many beautiful tefillos. But perhaps the most famous tefilla that he wrote is the L'cha Dodi. So I want to read to you now part of the L'cha Dodi that many of us are certainly familiar with, and then we will be able to see some beautiful insights. Every Friday night we say, Likra Shabbos Mechuvan Elcha. Let us go out and let us welcome the Shabbos. Tihi Mekoyer Habracha. Because Shabbos is the source of all blessings. Meroish, from way in the beginning. Mikedem, from the earliest days, Nesucha, this day was honored. Soif Maseh, it may have been the last thing that Hashem did, but the Machshava Tchila, that was his original intention. Now let's go over and we'll see some beautiful things. In the Siddha Oitza HaTfilis, he writes that in the time, in the 1500s, the minig was at this time, when they would say L'cha Dodi, and we could just close our eyes and picture this beautiful scene of all the men leaving the Beit HaKnesset and everybody going out to the chotzer of the Beit HaKnesset. And everybody would say together, L'chu v'nelcha likras Shabbos. Let's go out into the courtyard and be makabel Shabbos. What kind of beautiful sight that must have been. So that's the first part. Likras Shabbos, l'chu v'nelcha. Ki hi makar ha-bracha. Shabbos is the makar, the source of bracha. That's based on a Gemara that we should all take with us tonight. Kol ha-ma'aneh es ha-Shabbos. Anyone who finds delight in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Bey says, "Nois nin loy mishaleis libay." Whatever your heart desires, the Eibishter will give you if only you can learn to delight in Shabbos. So Shabbos is makar habracha, and then at the end, sois maaseh b'machshava tchila. Even though it was last in deed, but it was first in thought. Imagine when all of us come to a chasana. The smorgasbord is set, and the flowers are there, and the band is there, and everybody is there. Everything is all set. And then finally at the end, the last ones to arrive at the chuppah is the radiant chasan and kala. And that's the whole reason we made the flowers, and the smorgasbord, and the catering hall, and the music. We did it all first, but we all did it only for that very last thing. The chasan and kala coming together under the chuppah. And so therefore, that's what Rav Shlomo HaLevi Alkavitz is telling us. They used to make Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and he created the sun and the moon, everything, all the animals and the insects and the trees and the grass. And finally, the last thing that he created was man of the creation. And then after everything else came Shabbos. Because Shabbos, because that was, even though that was last, that was most important. So I want to share with you a story that I'm not really sure if it's a great story. I happen to like it, otherwise I wouldn't tell it. But maybe you'll be able to tell me by a raise of hands if you think this is good enough to go Mit Hashem in the next book. Because I just heard it recently, and I think that there's a great, great lesson here. Listen to this. Again, wherever I go, people are always telling me stories. So I was in the homeland for a Shabbos. I was speaking there, and a chosh of a lady comes over to me. She says, you know, where I live, there's a frum pediatrician in New Jersey. And he told me this remarkable story. He says, one day, a father came with a goyish father came to his office. He's a pediatrician with a child. And the goyish father says to the doctor, my son is... very sick, and we've gone to many doctors, and nobody can figure out what is wrong with them. Maybe you can examine him and figure it out. So the doctor checked and checked, and finally he decided that he thought he knew what the answer was. So he said, listen, I think I know what the problem is. I'm going to give you a bottle of medicine. I want you to have the son take it. Come back in 2 weeks when you finish the bottle, and we'll see how the boy is doing. 2 weeks later, the boy comes back with the father, and the pediatrician says to the father, "New, how's the boy?" He says, "There's no change." He says, "What do you mean, there's no change? And you took the medicine?" He said, "Yeah, here, look, the bottle is empty." So the doctor takes a look at the bottle, and on the bottom of the bottle is the sediment. Now, the sediment is the part that settles, but that has all the rapport in it. The whole bottle has that sweet stuff. That's what makes it taste good. But he didn't follow the instructions. He said, "Did you follow the instructions? You were supposed to shake well. You're supposed to take everything and shake it up. Right, you just tasted the good part. But that part where all the medicine is there, you didn't shake it. So you see, you didn't get any benefit out of it. Go home, take a new bottle of medicine, and give it to your child." Fine. That Shabbos, the fruit pediatrician comes to shul, of course, like every Shabbos. And it's Birchas Reshchodesh, Shabbos Mevarchen. And he's davening the Yirotzen. And listen to this einfall of a pediatrician. Chaim shel shalom, chaim shel toiva, chaim shel bracha. And then at the end, it says, chaim shetevonu avas Torah v'yira shamayim. At the end, the last thing we ask for, we should have love of Torah and yira shamayim. So the pediatrician was thinking to himself, that's at the bottom, that's at the end, that should be at the beginning. A yid should be mispala for avas Torah v'yira shamayim. He says, "Oh, now I realize what it is. This is really the sediment. The Avas Torah Yishamayim is on the bottom. And if you mix it up together with everything else that you want, the Toiva and the Bracha and the Shalom, it should be all mixed with Avas Torah Yishamayim. Then you'll be zechut to all the brachas. But Stam, if you leave that Stam on the bottom and you consider that the least, so then, of course, you haven't done anything. You have to mix it all together. No, you think it's worth printing? Yeah? Okay. So now it occurred to me like this. If that's the case, then perhaps what we can do is we can make the same connection to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shabbos is the bottom. It's the last thing. But oh, we're supposed to take the lessons of Shabbos and mix it up, shake well, and memela, then every day in the week we can learn the lessons of Shabbos. So Eina Hanami, Shabbos is only on the bottom, but it's not on the bottom because it's the least important. So it's Maaseh B'machshava Tchila. And you have to shake up Shabbos, and you have to learn the lessons of Shabbos to take with you a whole week. And then we can then have a lichtig avoch and a gebencht avoch. Why is Shabbos so special? Listen to this beautiful, beautiful medrash, and this will set the tone what the whole or part, to a great part, the meaning of Shabbos. It says in the medrash Rabba Bereshis Chav Beis Yud Gimel. Adam HaRishon was sent out of Gan Eden because, after all, he did that terrible Avera, and he was walking around very, very depressed. All of a sudden, as he's walking, he sees his son Cain. Now, Cain did a terrible thing. Cain went and killed Hevel. But Cain, for some reason, seemed to be in a good mood. He didn't seem so depressed as Adam. So Adam goes over to Cain, and he says to him, "Ma bedinoch, what happened with your din? I thought that the Eibishter was so angry at you." Listen to what he says. Omalei, the Medrash says. Cain says, "Osisi tshuva. I did tshuva, v'nisbasharti, and my punishment became lighter. The Eibishter accepted my tshuva." So then the Medrash says, Adam took his hands to his head, and he said, "Oy vey! I didn't even realize there's such a thing as tshuva. Mizmor Shiliyem HaShabbos." And it was Makabel Shabbos. What does Shabbos have to do with what this whole discussion was? He said, "I didn't know that there's such a thing as tshuva." Oh, that's gevaldik. Mizmor Shiliyem HaShabbos. What's the connection? You know what the answer is? Mefarshim say that Shabbos doesn't only mean rest. Shabbos has the word in its shaw to return. The essence of Shabbos is that it's a day to return, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a day when a person can daven slower. It's a day when a person can learn more. It's a day when a person can have peace and serenity and think what his whole purpose in this world is all about. That's why I believe Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbosayim, Because it's Shuv, it's the ultimate day of return. Every week we have like a mini Yom Kippur. We have Shabbos. But Shabbos, Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos Shabbosayim, because that's the ultimate day of returning, the ultimate day of Tshuva. Now let's watch something fascinating that the Shlonim Rebbe wrote in his wonderful Sefer Nesiva Shalom, and he writes it in the name of the Chidah, and he writes like this. There's a Pasuk in Dvarim Lamed, Pasuk Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, and he says there will come a time, V'shavta ad Hashem Aleikecha, you will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shamata V'koylei, and you're going to listen to his voice. So the Helik Yechidah says, how do you spell V'shavta? You know how you could really read it? If you write it out, you'll see. Vav Shin Beis Tov, V'shavos. So the Chidah writes, it's true. If a person does an Aveira, he can do tshuva. But the total tshuva doesn't come until he is ma'aneh and he's makabel and he's machabed Shabbos. Because every Aveira has with it the chitzoniyistic part and the pnimiyistic part. The outer part and the inner part. The outer part, if you make up that you're not going to do the Aveira and you cry and you have charata, the chitzoniyistic part of the Aveira goes away. But the pnimiyistic, that only goes away v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Until you're Mahane Shabbos, and you're Mechabit Shabbos, and you're Ma'ane Shabbos. And I'll tell you a beautiful thing that happened with a Baal Tshuva in Queens a while ago. It was right before Rosh Hashanah, and he bought his wife a whole bunch of pots and pans. So he was becoming frum, and he wanted to buy new pots and pans. So they told him, don't forget, you have to take the pots and pans to the mikvah, and you have to take off the label. He didn't know, because the label, you know, otherwise it's going to be a chatzitza, and it's going to be like a barrier. So you have to make sure that it's perfectly clean. Fine. He comes back from the mikvah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he says the most unbelievable thing. And when he said this thing, I thought of a Gemara. The Gemara says, V'mokayim shebalei tshuva oimdim. The place where Bali Shiva stand, Afilu Tzadikim Gemurim Ein Yochel Lamed. Even big Tzadikim can't stand there because they're on a higher madrega of the Bali Shiva. But I was thinking like this. You ever hear the expression, oh, I was oimid on something? Oimid means, the Gemara says, a Lashon, also Rashi brings it, that a Talmud can't be oimid on the das of his Rebbe for 40 years. Oimid means to understand. So I think the Pshat in the Gemara is like this. But Mokim Shabali Shiva oimidim. Something that a Baal Tshuva will suddenly grasp, even a tzaddik is not going to be able to grasp. You know why? Because I don't mean we as a tzaddikim, but I mean the average person who's frum all the time, he doesn't even think about it. Listen to what this Baal Tshuva thought about. He says like this. He says, you know, when I was at the mikvah and I was taking off the labels, I realized the labels was the easy part. The glue underneath the labels, that was the difficult part to get off. So he said, it occurred to me like this. Every Aveira has a chitzoniyistic aveira and a pnimiyistic aveira. There's the label and the glue. So where the person says, I'm not going to eat treif anymore. So that's the chitzoniyus. He's not going to eat treif. But there's the glue of the aveira. That means the effect that the aveira has on a person. Chas v'shalom, when a person does an aveira, it makes them more susceptible to do another aveira. So the aveira itself is not going to do, but what about that glue of the aveira, the thing that's going to cause them to do another aveira? So he said, that's what you have to get off when you take these labels off. It's not only the label, but it's the glue, that's the pneumius of the aveira. So imagine a Baal Tshuva should think of that. So it occurred to me, that's what Shabbos is. Father Gavis, the Chidah is telling us, when a person does tshuva, you get rid of the chitzonius, the aveira. From now on, you're not going to do something that you were doing till now, whether it's getting angry, or speaking Lashon Hara, or eating before you, or whatever, eating something that doesn't have the best hashgacha. But then what about the pnimius of the aveira? The glue that makes you want to do another aveira because you did this one. That only comes to shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, until we become very, very special on Shabbat. And that's why I think on Yom Kippur we say two things. Kibiyeh mazeh yechaper aleichem letaher etchem. Yechaper is for the outside aveira, the chitzonius. But the tahara, that comes when you get rid of the glue of the aveira. If we can only make a commitment that from now on we're going to be so careful about Shabbat and we're going to learn how to be careful about Shabbos. Then all the tshuva that we do, and we all do tshuva for various averus, then we'll be able to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll really reach that Shabbos, which is Shabbat, which is Shabbat, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we'll get rid of the pnimius of the avera itself. I'll tell you a great, great story. This story was told to me by somebody in Kew Gardens who knows the boy to whom it happened to. And this story happened in Eretz Yisrael, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. There was a kid, he wasn't frum, teenage kid, wore a leather jacket in Eretz Yisrael, who knows if he even wore a yarmulke, and he used to ride his motorcycle every place wherever he could. Anytime he had time off, he would go in the Galil. The Galil is the gorgeous hills of Eretz Yisrael, and he would go up and down the hills, and he would fly, and the wind would be low in his face, and it was the most exhilarating feeling for him to ride his motorcycle. So one day he's riding his motorcycle, and of course he goes out in all the fields, but he has to cut through a certain town. So as he's cutting through the town, he goes through a small street, Hashem Yerachem Davis, the Lord Jesus, should never happen, but a little girl ran out from the street. Our mother was walking with her, and the little girl ran across the street, and this motorcycle smashes right into this girl. Well, I don't have to tell you, Nebuch, the girl went flying, and she hit against a brick wall in a minute. When I got sumo, everybody was yelling and screaming, and the kid was mamish motionless. And this kid felt terrible. I mean, he wasn't a frum boy, but he wasn't a bad boy. And he certainly didn't mean to hurt that child. He knew very well he shouldn't be driving in a city at such a ridiculously fast pace. But the little girl had run out from her mother's clutches. So he felt terrible. Well, they took the kid to the hospital, and she was in a coma for days. And every day, this fellow, he would go and he would ask, what's with the baby and what's with the little girl? And he felt as if he was a victim himself. He just couldn't take it, and he was going crazy. After 4 or 5 days, he hears that the girl is beginning to come out of the coma, and pretty soon she was beginning to get back her memory, and after about a week and a half, she was ready to go home. Miraculously, she was ready to go home. So what does this sincere fellow do? The day that the mother is going to go home with the child, he goes to the hospital, and he goes over to the mother, and he says, you know, I feel so terrible what I did. And I can't express my grief. I wish there was something that I could do to make it up for you. I'm not wealthy. There's not much money that I can do. But tell me, what could I do for you and for your daughter? Something that would somehow show you how sincerely sorry I am. Listen to what a mother says. The mother says to this boy, she says, you know, the day that you hit my daughter, that day was Shabbos. Promise me that you'll never ride your motorcycle again on Shabbos. He was stunned. I mean, of all the things that he thought in his mind that this woman would say, it never occurred to him. He didn't even think about it that it was Shabbos. To him, Shabbos was like any other day. It never even occurred to him that he could even think to say something like that. But he asked her, and he said he would do whatever she wanted. So that Shabbos, he was getting ready to ride on his motorcycle, a natural inclination because he was off from work. But then he remembered, I made a promise to the lady. So he was a little bit upset with himself, but he went back to his apartment and he decided he's going to look at the first house where there's a mezuzah. First apartment. He knocks on the door, it's about 11 o'clock, and the family was home from Shabbos already, from shul. They were sitting around the table, and he knocks on the door, and this guy looks, the frum father looks at this fellow, he says, can I help you? He says, can I talk to you for a minute? He says, okay, sit down. He says, tell me, why can't I drive a motorcycle on Shabbos? Just like in the middle of a conversation, he starts. So like the father's taken aback, and this man is taken aback, and he tells him the whole story. So he starts telling him Shabbos is a day of rest. He says, rest? This is my rest. This is my relaxation. This is how I relax. I go through the mountains with the motorcycle. This man was a very sincere fellow. He really didn't know all the answers. So he said, you know what? I'll tell you what. Down the block, if you go down the block, there's a rav. He's very smart. He knows all the answers. Why don't you go to him? And he'll tell you why you can't ride a motorcycle on Shabbos. So he goes to that rav, sure enough, and that rav doesn't admonish him, doesn't get angry at him, and he begins talking to him, and slowly but surely, over the next couple of weeks, this boy and this rav get very, very friendly. But this boy felt very guilty, because in this little town where he lived, everybody was pointing a finger at him. This is the kid who almost killed that little girl. So finally he goes back to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, I'm getting out of here. I can't be in this city anymore. I'm going to travel, I'm taking a backpack, I'm getting out. says, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just leaving this town. He said, I'll tell you what. It's Thursday. Do me a favor. Why don't you go to your shalayim and you go to a place called Ursameach? Just go for one Shabbos. If you go for that one Shabbos, you'll understand for the rest of your life the importance of Shabbos. And wouldn't you know it, he went to Ursameach for that Shabbos. And 3 weeks later, he came back to his town to the Rav. And he said, you know, the people in Ursameach were so wonderful. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to go back there. And this fellow, Mamish, became a Baal Tshuva and a Talmud Chacham today. Who knows why he took that road? I'll tell you why he took that road. David wanted him to take the road home. And Shabbos was the vehicle that was shoved, that brought this fellow back to Klal Yisrael. I want to tell you now something very interesting, and to me personally it's interesting because it has to do with Brit Mila, and many of you know that I'm a Mayo. You know, there's such an expression, and I think you mentioned it before, about Tamei HaMitzvah. Now, normally, when you want to give a reason for a mitzvah, you say that you want to give the Tam to the mitzvah. Tam is like a reason. But I once heard in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky something very interesting. He said, we don't really know the reason for a mitzvah. Everybody just speculates. Unless the Torah tells you the reason for a mitzvah, we don't really know it. So what's the pshat Tamei HaMitzvah? Tam comes from the word taste. That sometimes Chazal or Gedolim, Rishonim, Achronim, whatever, will tell you a reason for a mitzvah, not that that's the reason, but that gives you a geschmack. It's a tam in the mitzvah. Because once you know and you understand why you're doing the mitzvah, so then you get more of a geschmack in it. So listen to this tam, this taste, or this reason, if you will, for the reason why a bris is done on the eighth day. Now, I'm always asked that when I do a bris for non-from people. Why is it done on the eighth day? The Eivishter said to Avraham Avinu, Kiriyar Mashmini, Yimal Vasar Alatkan, that you're supposed to do. The Eivishter wanted that Avraham Avinu should be Mal Yitzchok on the eighth day. There's no reason given in the Torah. Not one reason at all. So there's a very interesting Medrash. And the Medrash tells us a very interesting thing. That the reason that it's done on the eighth day, because the Eivishter wanted that the little boy should go through a Shabbos. Why should he go through a Shabbos? Because, for example, just like you have a king, and everybody wants to come and visit the king says, listen, before you give me covet, you've got to give the queen covet. Shabbos is a malka. So you've got to go through a Shabbos, then you can come to me, and I'll give you my seal. That's one reason. But then there's another medrash. Listen to this medrash. The medrash is in Dvarim Vav Aleph. And it says like this: Lo mahatinik nimar l'shemayna yamin, shenosan akodesh baruch hu rachamim alav. The Eivishter wanted to have rachmanis lahamtin loy ad sheyia baykoychay, till he's going to have strength. What does that mean? An 8-day-old baby is so strong, so much stronger than a 6-day-old baby, and on the 9th day he wouldn't be strong. But listen what the Or HaChaim Hakodesh says. He says, you know what strong means? He says, if let's say that you would have a bris on the 5th day, a baby could be born on Sunday and have a bris on Thursday. He doesn't go through Shabbos. If let's say that you had it on the 6th day, a baby could be born Sunday, have Friday. The earliest time that you could have a bris, that no matter when a child is born, he's always going to go from Chol through Shabbos, is on the 8th day. That's why it's on the 8th day. Because on Shabbos, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh writes, that there is an infusion of a ruchni azika strength that we all get on Shabbos. And the Eivishter wanted that before the little boy has a bris, he should have a ruchni azika strength that we all get on Shabbos. That's the reason for the eighth day. So like this, lom shum loy pruk, everybody's going to know you do it on the eighth day, everybody's going to go through a Shabbos, at least one Shabbos, before he has a bris. And I'll tell you something very interesting. When I was writing the book for Art Scroll on Bris Mila, of course, I wrote this chazal, and I remember that I always used to hear, which I thought was a Baba Meister, but of course it's not. I used to think, and I heard something, but then I mamish did the research. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, and he writes in the Mor Nevuchim, Peregimel Memtes, that the strength, that the Medrash means a physical strength. So I was thinking, physical strength? What physical strength is the Rambam talking about? And believe it or not, it's written in some of the medical journals that the coagulation of a baby is best on the eighth day. It's better than it's on the ninth day. There's a certain chemical that comes out of the liver, and that is the reason you should know, all the young mothers should know. That's why a jaundiced baby, that shows that the liver is not functioning 100%, and the liver gives off the clotting factors. So if possible, it's not that the baby's yellow, big deal if he's yellow, so what? That's not the thing. The yellow shows that maybe the liver's not working. And if the liver's not working, the baby's not going to clot properly. But on the eighth day of life, the enzymes and the chemicals in the liver shoot out all over the body to such a degree higher than any other time. As eighth day. It's in one of the medical journals. That's not the reason you're going to say that the bris is on the eighth day. But when the Rambam says that it means physical strength, I thought maybe the physical strength that he's talking about is the coagulation. However, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, we're not talking about physical strength, we're talking about a ruchni yisik of strength, and the child has to be able to go through that Shabbos. It's a very beautiful Gemara that we could all learn from to apply not only on Shabbos, but throughout the rest of the week. Omer Rav Yosi, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Yudches Amud Beis, Yehei Chelki, I would love to have my chelik and Olam Haba like those people who live in these two towns, Tveria and Tziporiy. Gemara says, what's so special about Tveria and what's so special about Tziporiy? Listen to this. A picture this. And Tveria is in a valley. Friday afternoon, it gets dark very early in Tveria. Now, really, these people, they don't have to be Makabel Shabbos, because all of Eretz Yisrael is still light. In the valley, it gets dark first. But the people of Tveria, they don't want to take any chances. If it's dark here, even though we know it's light all of Eretz Yisrael, Friday night, we're going to make Shabbos as soon as it gets dark in Tveria. They don't have to make Shabbos yet. It's not really Shabbos. They don't want to take any chances. Now, the people in Tveria, they live on top of the mountain, way on top of the mountain. Much of Shabbos, it's light by them, the sun is still up there. The rest of Eretz Yisrael, it's already night. You can go ride your bike, you can go wherever you want, you can go on the Egged buses. But the people in Tziporiy, they say, I know it's Eish Shabbos, but we still see the sun, so we're not going to take any chances. As long as we see the sun, we're still going to keep Shabbos. So Friday night, the Tziporiy people make Shabbos early, and Tziporiy and Shabbos, they make Shabbos, they keep Shabbos very late, so they are Moisif Michoel Al HaKodesh. They add from the choil, they add kodesh. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. I wish my chelek would be from those people who understand that you have to take from the choil and make it kodesh. And perhaps that's a great lesson in life. Most of you here surely give tzedakah. And most of you here are surely involved in at least one organization. We all have secular time and sanctification time. Choil time and kodesh time. Choil money and kodesh money. Maybe we have to learn a lesson from the people in Tveria and Tziporiy that we should be moisif michoil ala kodesh. That we should take a little bit more of that secular time and make it holy time. We should take a little bit more of the secular money and make it holy money. And give maybe a little bit more sucker than we're giving. And give a little bit more to an organization and time and effort than we're giving now. So that lesson that we take from Shabbos about Chol HaKodesh, we mix it up and we take it and we learn it for the whole entire week of being Moisif Michoel Al HaKodesh. The Torah Tmima wrote a Sefer, and the Sefer is called Taisus Bracha. And he writes like this. He says, there are two psukim in Shmois, Lamed Aleph Yudalad, it says, Ushmartem Et HaShabbos. Watch the Shabbos, because it's holy to you. And then, two psukim later, it says, V'shomru b'nei Yisrael asa Shabbos. Klal Yisrael watches Shabbos. He said, why does it have to say twice that we watch Shabbos? And he has an ingenious answer. And he says, you know why? The first time means about watching Shabbos, being careful. The second, he says, it's compared, we all remember, when Yaakov Avinu heard about the dreams of that Yosef was having. So it says, Vayikano boy Echov, the brothers got jealous, Va'oviv Shomar Es Adovar. The father was waiting. He was waiting. Shomar means waiting with anticipation. He was waiting that it should happen. That's what he said. We have to begin anticipating Shabbos. The first of Shemaitim Es HaShabbos means you have to be careful in all the halachas. But the second is to anticipate Shabbos. And you know something? If you anticipate and you wait for Shabbos, then Shabbos is going to be special. My favorite bumper sticker of all time is, hang in there, Shabbos is coming. It's a great expression. Hang in there, Shabbos is coming. That's anticipating Shabbos. And you know something? The Gemara tells us, Misha Torah, the Erev Shabbos, Yoichol B'Shabbos. If you work Erev Shabbos, you anticipate it and you prepare, then you're going to eat Shabbos. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, in America, we've gained Shabbos, but we've lost Erev Shabbos. Because we are because we rush like such Mishagoyim, and we don't have any hasoga of what it means to come into Shabbos with kavod and respect. And what I would like to say to all the men that are going to listen to this tape is what they should try to remember, and the women to who it's megeya, is not to figure how late I can stay in the office on Friday, but how early I can leave the office. Can I tell you what my wife always did, especially when the kids were small? And this is something that I would suggest for every mother and wife in Klal Yisrael. Thursday night, the table was set for Shabbos. Thursday night, the tishtach, the tablecloth was already on, and when the kids woke up Friday morning, it's a different serenity. Shabbos is coming. There's a tremendous difference that if you just whip out that tablecloth 5 minutes before Shabbos, before you put on the licht on it. But if it's there from Friday morning, it's a totally different picture. Is there any reason that your kids can't get showers or baths Thursday night? Why does everybody have to fight for the shower and the bath 5 minutes before Shabbos? Does it say any place that you have to go to the cleaners 5 minutes before Shabbos? What would be wrong if you went to the cleaners Thursday afternoon or Thursday night? If Shabbos was Thursday night, you would have got your clothes or your dresses or whatever, you would have got it Thursday afternoon. So the idea is that what you have to do is anticipate and try to make it so that all those things, when you come into Shabbos, it's with serenity. In my humble opinion, unless you wear a tichel and a snood all the time, no woman should bench lift with a tichel on a bathrobe. That's not Shabbos day, unless you wear a bathrobe the whole Shabbos. But that, what kind of example is that? You run like a meshugana to the last minute, you bench lift, and then you go up to get dressed. That's how you makabel Shabbos for the malka. That's an example for the children. You have to be dressed menschlach when you bench lift. I'll tell you an amazing story. An amazing story. If you want to buy your husband a present, I just heard. You can't even get it in New York. I tried it. You can't get it. My son-in-law just bought it for me in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to bring it to me Pesach, Mitzvah Hashem. There's a tremendous tzaddik in Bnei Brak. His name is Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein. He's the son-in-law of Rabbi Yashin. So he wrote a sefer called Tuvcha Yabiyu. A tremendous sefer, a chumash. And why do I love it? There's a lot of good stories in there. That's what they tell me. So today, Mamish this morning at a bris, David Weinberger told me a story, and he says, you know, there's a new safe. I said, don't tell me, Tuvcha Yabiyu. He says, how do you know? Listen to this story that he writes, an amazing story. There was a man many, many years ago, his name was Rav Simcha Kaplan, Olah Shalom. He was the Rav in Tzfat. So when he was in Europe, before he came to Eretz Yisrael, he learned in the Yeshiva Samir. In the old days in Mir, they didn't have 3,000 kids in a dormitory like they have today, right? So what did they have? They had a yeshiva, and people used to sit, and they would have families that they lived with. So this particular family, one day, he's there on Friday morning, and he sees that the mother is telling the husband, and the very Truma mentions, it's before 12 o'clock. And she says to the husband, you're going to go out to buy something today for Shabbos? He says, yeah. She says, make sure you come back. Don't forget not to be late before Shabbos. You know how much depends on it? He couldn't believe it. I mean, first of all, before 12 o'clock, you got 5 hours of Shabbos. Like, boy, what are you panicking here? And you know, the husband said, Ha'elecha Yid, what are you telling him? What, do you think he's going to come home late? So after a while, curiosity got a hold of him. So he asked her, he says, Shulik, like, you know, where's he going? He's not going that far. Why are you so worried? Listen to what she said. She said, for years, she didn't have children. And finally, she had a child. And after a few years, this child never got very sick. And they went to all mini doctors. And every doctor gave up on the child. They were in Vienna by the biggest professors, as they used to call them, in Vienna. And everybody said, there's nothing to do for this child, Rahman al-Islam. So the mother was crying hysterically, and she made her way back to the city of Mir. As she was on the train, some Yid saw her and said to her, "Why are you so upset?" And she said, "What do you mean, her child, Nebuch, the only child that she has, and the doctors in Vienna gave up?" He said, "What are you talking about? Go to the Chofetz Chaim, you go on the way, you get off, you'll go to Radin." She said, "You think the Chofetz Chaim is going to see me? Try, what could you lose?" She goes to Chofetz Chaim. He was so old, nobody was able to get in anymore. And she's crying and begging and pleading. Nu Rachmanes, a woman with an only child, they let her in. They let her in. The Chofetz Chaim is so old and he's so frail. And she starts crying. And the Chofetz Chaim, listen to what he tells her. He says, "What can I do for you? When I was young, I used to fast. When people had tzaros, I used to fast for them. Imagine. You know, I couldn't get over that." This is a sidebar to the story. You know, you think when you call a Rav or a Rebbe and it gives you a bracha, you think it's just Stam. The Rebbe undertakes that pain. He fasts for you. And he davens for you. And we all have an achrayus when we ask a Rav or a Rebbe for a bracha and things work out, to call them and thank them. Not only to call for the tzaros, but to call and tell them that the bracha helps. But anyway, the Chofetz Chaim said, "What can I do?" She's pleading, "Please, Rebbe." So the Chofetz Chaim said, "Okay. I'm going to tell you two things. If you makabel these two things, then I guarantee you your child will be okay." She straightens up and she's ready. She's ready, the Chofetz Chaim, to tell her that she should fast for 2 years. That's what she was convinced the Chofetz Chaim was going to say. Listen to the two things he told her, you'll chalash. The first thing he said, by 12 o'clock on Friday, the leichter and the tablecloth should be on the table. She couldn't believe it. She asked again, "Rebbe, what?" "The tablecloth and the leichter should be on the table by chatzoy." That's the first thing. And the second thing, listen to the second thing, it's not easy. The second thing he said, that when it comes the zman to bench lich, you should bench lich, not later, and from that time on, no malacha should be done by anybody in your house. That means men and boys as well. Now, we all know, all the men and the boys, they got 18 minutes yet. So they can still go into the shower, because there's 16 minutes left, right? And they can do all the malachas, and finally get into shul, you know, after Ashrei, if they make it to Mincha. That's not how you go into Shabbos. So the Chofetz Chaim, and the boy was fine. The Chofetz Chaim told her, "You want to be zeicher to gezund, anticipate Shabbos. 12 o'clock, the leichter and the tablecloth should be on. And when the wife benches lich on time, that the husbands and the children should not do any more malachas." You're going to have a hard job convincing your husband. But the idea is, look at the benefit. It's not my advice. It's the advice of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. There's another thing. Another thing that we can anticipate, and this has a lot to do with that video that a few of us made, Rabbi Avi Shulman and Rabbi Yaakov Solomon, my dear friend. It's like a panel discussion about the Shabbos table. You know, let me tell you something about the Shabbos table. Do you know, we all know that on the Mizbeach you bring karbonos. What is a karbon? Karbon means come close, karoy. The Avisha says, "Give me a karbon, come close to me." And you know, our shulchan and our house is a Mizbeach. And what greater Mizbeach than the Shabbos dish, than the Shabbos table? That's the time to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the time to get close to family. And you have to concentrate on the children by the Shabbos table. How many times have we told over the story how Rav Reuven Feinstein told me that no matter which guest, unless it was a Gadol HaDor, came to his father's house, Rav Moshe, Rav Reuven always sat next to his father. Don't push the guest. Don't push the children all the way in the back and the guests up front. Your children are the most important investment you have in this world. So how can we anticipate Shabbos? What can we do to make the Shabbos table special? I'm going to give you a few practical aitzim. One, this is not my aitzim. My son-in-law thought of this. I don't know where he got it. I think maybe he got it from his friend. Listen to what the kids do, you can't believe. They have mitzvah notes. So Friday night, after the fish, my son-in-law calls out, and this is what my daughter wrote up. Every kid has a mitzvah note, something that they did. Nechama watched the baby so that mommy should be able to get some rest. And everybody cheers, "Yay, Nechama got a mitzvah note." So Tuesday night when she watches the baby, she wants to know, "Mommy, did you write my mitzvah note so that I can read it Friday night?"
Rachel cleaned the kitchen so that mommy could do something else meanwhile. So when Rachel cleans the kitchen, she wants to know, mommy, did you write a mitzvah note so Tati could read it? Avram shared his new toy with the other kids. So when Avram shares his new toy, mommy, did you write the mitzvah note? And you know something? The Tati also goes. When he goes shopping Thursday night, I love Thursday nights because then he comes to my house with the kids. We have to go shopping. But whatever. So Tati went shopping Thursday night, he also gets the mitzvah note. There's no, everybody needs a mitzvah, right? And when I come there, somehow they figure out that it's something good I did during the week. I also get a mitzvah note. I shouldn't feel jealous. But the idea is that the kids throughout the week, they want the mitzvah note because they read Friday night at the table. It's a beautiful idea. And I'll tell you another thing. Today there are wonderful tapes around. Rabbi Friend, Rabbi Reisman, Rabbi Miller, and you know, some others, you know what I mean, right? So, you can get it from Mrs. Burrell or whatever. But anyway, there are a lot of good tapes out there. So, Mamela, when you listen to a tape, and we all know that many women listen to a tape, you hear a great story, you hear a great machshava, write it down and bring it up Friday night at the table. And tell it to your children and let them discuss it. You will see it enlightens the table. You have to make sure that the table is something vibrant, but it only happens when you prepare. Every week, when the children were in the house, I always prepared something for the table so that there would be a lively conversation. And the best thing is to ask a question, a halacha question, if you can. Something that you heard, something that you learned, something that you thought about. Here, I'll ask you a question. Imagine how many different answers you can give to this question. And this is something, I'm telling you, a couple of questions that we asked that they used to get a written publication from Eretz Yisrael. Somebody sent it to me. There was a fellow, Rav Spitz, who used to ask the Shaila every week. Listen to this question. See how you would answer it. In one particular community, there was a guy who had the chazaka that every year he blew Rosh Hashanah the first day. The second day, somebody else blew. But this chazaka was his. The first day Rosh Hashanah, he always blew shofar. One year it happened, Shabbos was the first day Rosh Hashanah. So now who blows the second day? If that's the first day Rosh Hashanah? The second day says, hey, what do you mean it's the second day? The first day, I says, no, the first day is Chasher. So if there's only one day, it's really me. Now you go around the table. Rachel, what do you think? Elisheva, what do you think? Fagin, what do you think? Avram, Eliezer, what do you think? Everybody's got an answer. And I'll tell you something, what my great friend Yaakov Solomon told me. You know what he said? He deals tremendously with Bala Tshuva. So he said that sometimes when you talk to Bala Tshuva about the Pasha, it's a little embarrassing. Because they don't know who Moshe Rabbeinu was, hard as it is to believe. And they don't know everything that went on in the Pasha. But this is a logical question. This is a great question that everybody can have an answer. Here's another question. Here's another question that this happened, right? This happened in Eretz Yisrael. But it could happen anyplace. A waiter walked in a hotel on Shabbos, and he was carrying coffee. I like it without sugar, by the way. Coffee, right? Okay? So coffee and skim milk. Now, he's walking with coffee, a pot of coffee, right? And somebody comes and knocks down this pot of coffee. Now, in a fancy hotel in Eretz Yisrael or any place, how much do you sell a cup of coffee for? $3, right? What is the water really worth? 3 cents. So now, when you knock down that pot of coffee, what do you owe? Do you own $25? Because after all, they gave out coffee. $25 they can make with that water. Or do you own 25 cents? Because it's only a pot of water. That's a great question. Let's see what Rachel thinks, what Elisheva thinks, and Elia. Everybody, let's see what they think. And you go around the table, and even a guy who's a Bala Tshuva, he's got a head. She's got a head of Bala Tshuva. She can think about it. And these are great questions. And besides everything else, I hope you don't take this in a veil. It's a lot of fun. Because everybody's arguing, and everybody's into it. And there's probably mafarshim all along the way, no matter what you decide. And here's one more question. This was the first one that we ever asked. My wife was so practical, couldn't even understand how such a thing could happen, but of course it happened. There was a family, they were going to Bnei Brak from Yerushalayim by bus to a chatana, and the bus broke down halfway. So now another bus had to come to pick them up from the Tel Aviv highway to take them to Bnei Brak. But the first guy wanted to get paid for half the trip because he took them halfway. You know, okay, fine. So how could that happen? How do you get such a bus company? Did you do research? Don't, that's not a kasha, right? But whatever it is. But it's exciting, right? It's interesting. But it only happens if you prepare. Come to my house for Shabbos. There's some people here who have been to my house for Shabbos. Come, yeah, give me a call. If I'm home, you can come. with your husband, with your kids, we have space for everybody. I'm telling you, it's exciting. And you prepare these things, and you prepare these thoughts. And then, all of a sudden, the table is geschmack. And the table is not a classroom, but the table is very, very exciting and interesting thing. Here, I'll tell you a great story. If I heard a story last week, I told you, every place I go, people tell me stories. And this is what I would say to my kids. Let's see what you would say. It's such an unbelievable story, as she was saying. Right? Listen. A fellow, Rav Tzadik Fromowitz, became a rav in a shul in Forest Hills. Just took over the shul a little while ago. It's an older shul, older people. The seats are raised, maybe 200 seats. And 20 people come every day to daven. So he's hoping there'll be some younger people that will come to shul. Because after all, he wants to build a shul with young people. Sure enough, he comes every day to shul to daven in the morning. He sees the young guys. But the young guys davening are the Ezra's notion. I mean, there's 150 empty seats. What are you doing? On the other side of the machisa. Okay, doesn't understand. Young guy davening over there. Okay, there's no women there every morning. So the rabbi doesn't want to say anything. He doesn't want to get started off with the fellow. Shabbos. So see what happens Shabbos. Because some women do come Shabbos. Shabbos, you see the guys upstairs in the balcony. But the guy's a weirdo. What's going on here? So Friday, in the middle of the week, he davens by the Ezra's notion. Upstairs, he davens by the balcony. It's a new rav. He's not going to say anything. Fine. The second week, he can't take it anymore. So he goes over to this fellow after davening, and he wants to be as gentle as possible. And he says, Rav Yid, whatever his name is, he said, I'd like to be machabed you. We have 180 seats here in the shul, so maybe you would like to join us. Now, what in the world do you think this guy would answer? What could possibly be his reason for doing what he did? I'm telling you, I would have thought about it for 5 years. I would never figure it out. And I daven by heart. If I sit anywhere near anyone, I get totally confused in the davening. The Rav told me he wished the floor would open so he could fall right in. How in the world could you have thought of that? What do you learn from a story like that? You know what you learn? Everybody around the table learns. You can never, ever judge anyone. You always have to daven be mekabel zchus. Imagine, and then he gets into a conversation, he loves the Rav's drushes, he hears it from up there and he has what to say. He's a wonderful person. And he says to his Rav, he says, you know something? Sometimes when you walk by in the street, you think I don't say hello to you. That's because I didn't see you. Because I don't know who you are, I just see a form. That's the reason he has to daven away from everyone. That's why he couldn't daven downstairs. On Shabbos, there's more people. He gets confused. He has to be upstairs. That's a great story to tell children. And I heard that there are people who take, there's a Mrs. Salmon who wrote a book. I think it's called The Other Side of the Story. I think there's something wrong here. The Other Side of the Story, which is Lakatwood. Are you supposed to be turned over? I said you better come up and do it. Okay. I'll give you a copy. So anyway, so she has Kamskut's story. So what you do is you read a couple of stories, and let's see if the kids can figure out what in the world is the Kamskut for that story. That's how you do it. That's how you make it exciting. And you know something, I hope you're not going to mind. But you shouldn't only talk to each other at a table. Don't make that mistake. Rav Matisyo Solomon says it all the time. The Shabbos table is a place to bond with a family. Talk about what's going on in the world. There's so many things that are going on. You don't have to talk Lashon Hara. But there's so many exciting things that are going on. Interesting things that are going on. Don't make it a classroom. Rav Matisyo always says women who are teachers make a tremendous mistake. They come home and they treat the kids like they're still in a classroom. A home is supposed to be a place that's an Ari Miklat. Kids have to be able to relax. They should be able to talk about anything. Imagine sometimes what happens, the kid doesn't know the parsha sheet and the father starts yelling at him and the kid feels terrible and destroys the whole table. That's not what a Shabbos table is all about. Try to learn halachas at the table. Do we all know Hilchos Brachos properly? Right by my table I have a sefer on Brachos. Have a sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. Have a sefer on Shmiras Halashin. You know what it says? I heard a great Chassidus Shavuot. It says in Pesach, Loisivaru eis b'chol moishvei seichem b'yom haShabbos. Don't let a fire burn in your house on Shabbos. Not let it turn on a fire. But you know what I heard it really means? In a Chassidish way, don't have that fire of anger. Don't get angry on Shabbos. Don't have that flaming fire. You know, my daughter was once in a house for Shabbos. She sat at a table with the guest, you know, with one of her friends. The father, one by one, had sent every kid away from the table. She was the only one left with him there. Can you imagine? It's unbelievable. You know, somebody else told me this. I don't want to say who, because nobody should know who it is. A little five-year-old was at the table of my son-in-law, and she said to my son, I couldn't believe five-year-old. She said, you stay at the table after the fish? Can you imagine? Because her father probably goes to sleep after the fish. She couldn't believe that a man stays at the table after the fish. So that's an example. That's an example how you said. You know, Shabbos is a time when we can really teach our children what guests are all about. When do we get a chance to show them Achnasas Archim? I once saw something so beautiful. If you look in Rabbeinu B'chai and Bereshis Chof Aleph Lamed Gimel on the Pasuk Vayita Eshel, Avraham Avinu planted that Eshel. Eshel is a tree, right? But many, many hotels are named Eshel because it stands for Achila, Shtia, Lina, or some say Lavoya. Eating, drinking, either accompanying or sleeping over. But you know what he also says? Such an ingenious thing in Rabbeinu B'chaya. By the way, you know why I always say things are unbelievable? Because I only tell over the unbelievable things. The regular stuff I don't say. But you know it is unbelievable. You know what he says? You know what the word HL is? It's Sha'al. It's Oishiyah Shin Aleph Lamed. Sha'al means a real host is always asking, what can I do for you? How can I make you happy? How can I make you comfortable? That's what HL is. Sha'al. Oishiyah Sha'al. So Shabbos is a great opportunity, and I'm going to tell you a story that I've told once before, and I don't come out looking good in this story, but I think it's important to tell over anyway. I used to have a guy that I always used to invite, and then he stopped coming after a while. I couldn't understand why he stopped coming. And then one night, Sukkot Taka, I invited him a few days before Yom Kippur, and Taka came. After the Suda, I was walking him out of the Sukkot to the front, so I said to him, you know, you used to come all the time. How come you stopped coming? He said, you really want to know? Ooh, when he said, you really want to know, I knew I was going to get it from him. But I said, okay, yes, I want you to tell me. He said, what gall do you have to invite me Friday night when you see me in shul? What do you think? I'm your chetet shel mitzvah? I'm your esrig? If you really cared about me, you'd think about me on Monday or Tuesday. Well, you don't think I bought soup or challah or chol for Shabbos? You don't think I prepared for Shabbos? Or just because you have to see me and show you have rachmanis, if you really cared about me, you'd think about me Monday or Tuesday. And that's true. There are a lot of singles out there. And there are a lot of almanas, aunts and bubbies that we have, and mothers that live alone. And men that live alone, fathers. Just don't invite them Friday night. Call them Tuesday or Wednesday. Show them that you're thinking about them, that they're people. One of the saddest stories that I ever heard was a story about a single girl. It was the second night Shavuot. She didn't have an invitation. She was a girl in her 30s. And she was about to make Kiddush. And she didn't know if you're supposed to say Shechiyonu or not. It was the second night Yontif. And she was thinking, is it like the first night? But it's the second night. She just didn't know. And where was she going to go out and go to somebody's house and ask if you're supposed to make Shechiyonu? How embarrassing it is. And then she thought to herself, even if the din is that I'm supposed to make Shechiyonu, do I really want to say Shechiyonu tonight? Is this what I waited for? Is this what I'm living for? To be alone on a yontif at night without an invitation? You have to feel the pain of these people. And we show our children what a guest is all about. And I'm going to tell you, I don't even know if this woman is here. And if she's here, I beg your forgiveness. Because many people call and don't give me their name, and I never ask. It's not important. But a few months ago, a lady called me. She said, you know, I'm on the phone, but my daughter's also on the phone, and we'd like to ask you a question, and whatever you say, we're going to do. How do you like that? Puts me right on the spot between her and her daughter. But it's okay. I said, okay, I'll listen. She said, you know, I invite, the mother says, a balas tshuva to my house every single Shabbat. And my daughter is now beginning to resent it, because she says this girl is acting like a big sister. She doesn't want her to tell her what to do. So she's being very nasty to my guests every Shabbat. Rabbi Krohn, don't you think my daughter should be nice to my guests? She doesn't have to like her, but she has to be nice to the people that I invite to the house of Shabbat. What do you say?
So I said to her, I hope you're going to be meichel me, because I know your daughter's on the phone. But you shouldn't have this guest every Shabbat. What you're doing is you're taking a guest into your home at the expense of your child. Your child goes first. If this fellow's tshuva needs inspiration, she should get it from different places at different times. Your children go first. Of course you should have guests. Not all the time. And of course, children should be up front, and you spend time with them first, and then with the guests. And you mingle the guests together with the children. It's an art. It doesn't happen by itself. You have to work on it. But of course you should have guests. But never at the expense of children. Our little kids in the house, and you're not going to be able to spend time with them. That's not Shabbos for them. If you spend time with the guests, don't be a tzaddik on their cheshbon. Guests are important, but they don't run your house. One more thing, a great story review, and we'll end with a fabulous story. Listen to this. In Belgium, they have a little cheder. So, the first grade, or even less than that, everybody speaks Yiddish, and most of you here speak Yiddish. So this teacher wanted to teach everybody about Shabbos. So she takes all the kids and she says, Chaimo, you're going to bring in the wine. And Leila, you're going to bring in the challah. And this boy is going to bring in the silverware and this girl is going to bring in the tishtach. And everything is all set. So finally, Wednesday morning, everything is all set. And they set out the table and it's all beautiful. And the teacher says, Chaimo, du bist der Tati. You're going to be the father. Good, he sits up front, he's very happy. All the kids are sitting around the table. And she says to him, Chaimo, fangon. He sits back in his chair and he plops his head back on his cheeks and he says, Oh, you're good God, that's very wrong. Oh, did I have a difficult week. You imagine that's how the kids start Shabbos. Isn't that amazing? You couldn't even plan it any better. Because if that's what the child sees, that's what Shabbos is all about. So then, of course, that's what he's going to learn. But Tom writes a tremendous book. And you can tell it over Friday night when you sing Kol Mekadesh. Kol Mekadesh Shavi Karoy Loi. Anybody that's Mekadesh, the seventh day Shabbos the way it is, Kol Shoyme Shabbos, Michal Loi, anybody who watches Shabbos from disgracing it, Choroi Harbe Miyoi, his char is going to be a lot. Al Pi for Oloi, according to the way he does it. So the Chofetz Chaim says, you know what the pshat is? There are two types of people who have Shabbos. There's some people who sit back, they don't do anything. They're going to sleep, call Shem Shabbos Mechala. I'm not doing any Averis. I'm not doing anything positive, but I'm not being Mechal Shabbos. That's called Shem Shabbos Mechala. He watches Shabbos. But then there's a Makadeh Shabbos called Makadeh Shavi Goroh Loi. So the Shchar is Al Pi for Olam. Depends what you do. It's not the same. Of course we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos. But it's not, that's what Shabbos is all about. You have to be Mekadosh, you have to be Ma'anagin. You have to have the Shabbos table, you have to have the Zmiris, you have to have the warmth, you have to have the anticipation, you have to have the tshuva. That's what Shabbos is all about. So listen to this fabulous story. You won't believe this story. In 1906, there was a man, Rav Hillel Berkowski. He came from Lithuania, and he wanted to bring his family to America. And many of you know the history of Yidden in those days. My own Vega like that came to Scranton. He came for a long time before he was able to bring over my brother and the children and my father and the other kids. So these people that came to America, right? You know the story. So that's my cousin here. So what happened was that this Rav Hillel, he came to Monticello, and over there he became the Shoichet and the Moyo, right? And the Chazan, just like my Zaydi, our Zaydi. Fine. So he was there for 2 years, lonely summers, frozen winters, and finally he was able to bring over his kids. So he brought over, he had six girls. And one of the girls at that time was called Chaya Elka, but in America they gave her the name Ida. Now Ida was an older girl already, and Ida couldn't stay anymore in Monticello, because although the family was very frum, she stayed there a year or two, but then it was going to be time for her to meet boys. She wanted to get married and she wanted to have a job. So where is she going to find somebody in Monticello in the early 1900s? So her father sent her to her uncle Shimon Schultz near Manhattan, and that's where she stayed. And she went around getting jobs, and she always tried to obviously be an Erech Hakin, but many of her friends that she met in New York in the early 1900s, many of them said, you know, this is America. You can work anytime you want. You have to have a job. You could be a good Jew. You could be a Jew at heart. And many of her friends, slowly but surely, were falling away from Yiddishkeit. And she wanted to build up some sort of a savings so she should be able to get married. And you know what happened? She was offered a job. A very, very good job. And this job, this company, had just finished being on strike. It had been on strike for months. And now there was a tremendous amount of young girls that were being employed by this company. And she was going to be able to get a great, great job. This company, I don't know if any of you ever heard of it, it's called the Triangle Shirtwaist Company. The Triangle Shirtwaist Company, of course. People your age know. Just like my mother knows. I had to look it up in the encyclopedia. But let me tell you something. They told her, if you come in, you'll stay, but you got to stay for Shabbos. And the pay was very good. And she didn't know what to do. She had to tell him an answer. And then she remembered her father, Rav Hillel, and her mother, Hinda. And she said to herself, I am the daughter of Rav Hillel Berkowski. I'm not going to take the job. I'm not going to be Mechalel Shabbos, no matter what. And the next week, there was such a terrible, terrible fire in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. It is one of the most famous fires in law, in business law, because never 146 girls died in that fire on that Shabbos. And because of that, many, many laws were made about fire escapes and safety. So now that you heard the name, you will remember the Triangle Shirt Waist Factory. And you know who told me this story? Her granddaughter, her great-granddaughter. And you know what Shabbos that fire was on? This Shabbos. Parshas Vayakel. And you know what it says in Vayakel? Vayisavaru eish v'chol moshe v'seichem. On that Shabbos that everybody in Klal Yisrael read, Vayisavaru eish, a fire shall not burn in your dwelling place. That girl was saved from that fire. Parshas Vayakel. This Shabbos is the anniversary of that Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. And her life was saved. And the granddaughter who lives in Baltimore told me, if not for my brother being there outside the fire, we wouldn't be here today. And that's what we sing. Yeshmer Shabbos, Kel Yishmereini. You watch Shabbos, then the Eibishter will watch you. So it was Mamish Min HaShemayim, Mrs. Solomon, that we picked out this day, right before Parshas Vayakel. The Eibishter had a chesed that we should hear this story just on this Shabbos of the Shavaro Eish, B'chol Meshrei Seichem. So let's review everything that we said, and we'll end with a great story and a great thought. Let's remember Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabes made Shluchot Doidi, and right at the beginning he says, Likar Shabbos L'chuvin El Shabbos is the Makar HaBrocha. If we all are Makabel Shabbos, are Ma'anik Shabbos, we get all the things that our heart desires. Let's remember, Shabbos might be the last day, but it's Tzoyf Maaseh B'machshava Tchila. And just like that story that you applauded for, and Mitzvah Hashem will be in the next book, about that sediment that's all mixed up, that Avas Torah of Yerushalayim is mixed up with everything else, and then the brachas come true. If you take the lessons of Shabbos throughout the whole week, then we'll have all the brachas. Let's remember, Shabbos is Shov to return. And the Chidot tells us, V'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. You want to get the ultimate Shabbos, the ultimate tshuva, it has to be tshuva together with Shabbos. V'shavta is the Oisei Shabbos. Let's remember the labels and the glue. The glue is the pnimius of the Aveira. You have to get rid of the pnimius of the chet by being Makabel Shabbos. A bris is on the eighth day because every baby has to go through the Shabbos. We get a spiritual strength on Shabbos. Let's remember to anticipate Shabbos. Mishatorach be'erev Shabbos, Yechol b'Shabbos. If you plan for Shabbos, you try to put, like the Chofetz Chaim says, by 12 o'clock, let's not say Thursday night, 12 o'clock, the lechta should be on the table, the tablecloth should be there, and try in the schus of the Chofetz Chaim so that your husband and your children, and of course, the boys, because the girls obviously can't do any malach anymore, once you bench licht, and make sure you bench licht, Shabbos to get dressed, not in a tichel or in a bathrobe, but Shabbos the way it's supposed to be. Let's remember,
No yelling at the Shabbos table. It shouldn't be with fire of anger. Let's remember the Shabbos table is a place to become close. The korban, the mizbeach, that's the Shabbos table. Rav Moshe always had Rav Reuven, his son, sitting right next to him. Let's maybe use mitzvah notes. Let's prepare from what the tapes that we hear. Let the husbands prepare a piece of agadah from the daf that they learned during the week and tell it over at the table and let it become a discussion. Let's make sure that we learn the halacha, the brachas, or Shabbos, or any other thing that may be applicable, shmiras halashen. Let's remember the house is not a classroom, especially those women that are teachers. The house is a place of orin miklot. It has to be a relaxed atmosphere. Let's remember that we can learn to bring guests, eishel, ask them what they need, and the children learn tremendous things from them. But not every week should you have guests, and certainly guests shouldn't dominate the table. Let's remember those people that are alone, that woman who didn't know whether she even wanted to make shechiyonu. And let's remember that we all set an example. And the beauty that we have in Shabbat, that's what our kids are going to learn. Otherwise, they're going to remember the first thing that we said was that we had a difficult week. And let's remember a great, great minute, Takan Klal Yisrael. This is absolutely remarkable. I didn't tell you this, but I just want to tell it to you now. Do you know that there's an old minig in Eretz Yisrael that you give Hanukkah geld on the fifth night of Hanukkah? So a lot of people didn't know. What's that? The fifth night? We give every night, right? So recently a fellow told me, a big Talmud Chacham told me, that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when he gave his Einiklach, he gave them Hanukkah geld on the fifth night. So one of the Einiklach asked, Rav Chaim, why stopped on the fifth night? Listen to what he said. Klal Yisrael kol gevaldik mikamcha Yisrael. Do you know Shabbos, the fifth night, Hanukkah can never be on Shabbos? Every night of the week, Hanukkah can be on, can start. It never starts on Monday night. Never. So if it doesn't start on Monday night, so therefore you can positively give money Shabbos. Because if it was Monday night, so then the fifth night, if you give it, might be Shabbos. Like this, if you give the fifth night, it will never be Shabbos. Because only if Hanukkah starts Monday night, can the fifth night be Shabbos. But if it's on Sunday, so the fifth night is Thursday. If it's on Tuesday, the fifth night is Sunday. So because Friday night can never be the fifth night of Hanukkah, that's why the minig is that you give Hanukkah geld on the fifth night. Let's just end with this great story, and with that we'll close, and then with the bracha at the end. Rav Shlomo Sadran told me this story. He loved this story. You know, there are many, many Baal Tshuva seminars in Eretz Yisrael. And many of them, at the end of the Shabbos, when they have a Shabbos together, they each tell how they became shrum. So this mother once told how she became shrum. She had a little girl. She was a pachdanit. The pachdanit comes from the word pachat. She was very afraid. She never let her child go on a bus. That was the days of terrorism, and people were blowing up buses. She only wanted a child to walk to school. So unfortunately for her, the only school that was within walking distance was a frum school. So here she had no choice. She sent the kid to a frum school, and the kid learned all the frum zachen. So every time she would come home, the mother would say, "We don't do this, we don't do this, we don't do this." So finally, one Friday afternoon, the little girl came home, and she said, "Mommy, I'd like to bless the candles. We'd like to bench lift, because that's what all the kids do. They all made with their hands. I was the only one who didn't know." She said, "We don't bless candles in this house. We only bless candles once a year. On Israeli Independence Day, when we commemorate those soldiers that died for Israel, that's the only day that we bless candles." So this little kid decided, you know what? If my mother doesn't want to bless candles, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. So 5 minutes or 10 minutes before Shabbos, she runs down to the store, the grocery store, and the guy's about to close, and she says to the guy, "Can I have two candles?" Now this guy knows the lady. He knows the girl's mother. She doesn't need candles for Shabbos. He says, "Well, who do you need these candles for?" He says, my mother. I need candles for my mother." She says, "Oh, I know what you need. You need your type licht. Right? Can't be Shabbos licht, because after all, she never mentioned Shabbos licht." So he gives this little girl two your type licht. You know, the glass with the candle in it and the wick. Fine. Friday night, the father comes home. He comes home late on Shabbos, you know, because he's finished working. And he wants to eat dinner. So he sits down to the table, and the mother calls in the little girl. And she doesn't answer. So they're surprised. How come the girl doesn't answer? She's in her room, but the door's closed. So they call again, and she doesn't answer. So the father gets up from the table, and he walks with the mother. They walk to the door. They open up the door, and there they see the girl sitting by a table with two yahrzeit licht lit with a fire.
to your tzitzit. So the mother says, what are these candles? Because she knew what your tzitzit were, just like her husband knew. So the little girl says, echad l'aba to echad l'ima. Could you imagine? When that mother heard that, all of a sudden she remembered her mother that used to be shroom, and she realized that that yahrzeit list was for her that killed off all the mitzvahs in the family. And he remembered his old father who used to be shroom, and that candle in a sense was for him who killed off all the traditions of Yiddishkeit. And the parents were so distraught. Now this kid meant it Erlach. She didn't know the difference between yahrzeit lists and regular candles. And she meant, one is a schluss for my father, one is a schluss for my mother. But that Shabbos morning, that father didn't go to work anymore. And slowly but surely, he started not going to work. And eventually, through a very, very long process, they both became Shemesh Shabbos and they both became Shrum. And until this very day, every Friday, he buys Shabbos lists for everybody in the whole apartment building. Because it all started with that Echad L'Aba, the Echad L'Ima. So let us hope that we should all be Zeicha. Harachamon Yad Chilena Yoyim Shekulei Shabbos Amnucha. We should all be Zeicha to the ultimate day of Shabbos with Frelecha Hetza, with Simcha and Serenity. Thank you for inviting me and thank you for listening. I just want to mention the tape turned over just at one of the main points of the story. The disease that this fellow had was called retinopigmentosis, which meant that he was just about blind and he had to daven away from everyone else, otherwise he would get confused. And that's what the Rav realized, how you have to be done somebody l'kav schus. Here the person was davening in the Ezes Nashim or in the balcony, and he had a very good reason.